Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode. I am Michael Petro. Welcome to the last episode of 2022, actually. This is our year in review, ladies and gentlemen. On the show this week, you got Mart Navarro, Charles Fernandez, and myself. And all three of us are missing the shit out of Jimmy Skinner. He's got the flu, so he's silent on this one. So what's on the show? Well, with a year in review, you've got best film of 2022, best series of 2022, a special segment with Charles. Charles does the Nerdgasm, if you're not aware of that. That's his show on YouTube. We're going to do best video game of 2022, because really, video games, just movies you can play. And then what we're looking forward to in 2022. 23 with best performance also of 2022. I think that's the list. Whatever, you'll listen, you'll figure it out. So that's who's on the show. That's what's on the show. I have no updates. I have nothing to tell you about anything going on. It's January. It's dump month. Shitty movies out there. Nothing really going on in this gray period, as I've mentioned on previous episodes. So, if this is your first time, please subscribe. We would love it if you supported the show by just adding a subscription in your podcast player to the Real Debaters podcast. It's the easiest way to support us. We're self-supported. We got nobody behind us. So every subscription, every download, that really helps us. Besides that, I'll cue that reel. I'll give you Martin, myself, and Charles. Here's a whole year of film and TV and video games thrown at your face. I'll cue that reel, and you enjoy the show.
Let's tidy up this tangle of film by putting it on a reel. Here is a motion picture film, 1,000 feet, 16,000 separate photographs.
Welcome, everybody, to the official space section of the Charger.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order? I show you out of order!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Real Debaters Podcast. Welcome back to the show. Welcome to the place that asks that lovely question. What happens when real life meets real life? I'm one of your hosts, Michael S. Petro. That's for you, Mark Cowell. Who's sitting across from me?
I am Charles J. Fernandez. Yeah, and I'm drinking Bailey's on ice right now.
What kind of Bailey's, though, Charles?
Oh, it's s'mores.
S'mores?
Yeah, it's really...
S'mores in that glass?
It's real tasty.
It's fucking awesome.
It's really good.
Hang on. Martin, who's in Vancouver?
Oh, I am Martin, community property Navarro.
Will you explain that to us?
I'm wearing my Steel Panther t-shirt right now.
Stand up. Show it to us. Let's see this here. Well, actually, no.
Wow, it's like a real vintage shirt too, eh? That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
That's
like
wicked.
Straight up 80s.
Yeah, that's
logo.
Dope. Yeah.
Tell the world where you were last night, Martin, so they understand where you're at today.
I was at the Commodore Ballroom, and Steel Panther played their second show for, I think it was something in Paws and whatever. But it was a Christmas show, and they played at the Commodore Ballroom, which is like, dude, the Commodore Ballroom is like the best venue. It reminds me of like, do you guys remember, what was that club on Jefferson back in the day? Like country club. It's like Zach's on Jefferson or what? What was that one?
Silverados.
Zach's Silverados. On Jefferson, it reminds me of Silverados, but bigger.
Oh, cool.
That's what this venue reminds me of. And their staircase is like a big winding staircase. It goes up about 2-3 floors, and it's winding because during the days of Prohibition, it would take the cops longer to get up there.
Oh, so
they had time to like hide the drinks.
Yeah, that's dope.
That's
I love shit like that. That's great.
I do love a good themed room. So, like Commodore Ballroom, that's pretty like intimate, eh? Like what, 300-400 people, or am I way off?
I would be around, probably around there, 400-500 maybe around there.
So that's
like,
nice
I said,
concert.
It's like a Silverados, but bigger.
Yeah.
Like bigger Silverados.
That's dope.
And for anybody who doesn't know Steel Panther, they love to capitalize on the 80s hair metal.
Yeah.
And boobs in the audience, I hear, too.
Lots. There were lots of, I'm not a shamer of that stuff.
If you
want to let them fly, let them fly.
Oh, hey, man, power to everybody.
Free the nip.
You're so moved by the music, that's what you do. Good for you, man.
Like, I always said,
death to bras. Let them fly.
Man.
I have always said that, like, with my personality, give me boobs, I would be flashing, like, Pavarotti.
Well,
like any concert I would be at, I would be flexing.
That's what I mean. Like, imagine we were all doing a live debate and a dude threw a shirt at us or like a girl threw her top. Like, I think that's flattering. I'd be like, great.
Yes.
I assume that means you're having fun.
Yeah. Right? What does this mean?
Yeah, right? Like,
that's the only reason I'm working so hard at comedy. So that'll happen to me one day.
Yeah. Sign it.
So the concert was good. Yes. You had a good time?
Good time. I had also had, I think, 8 shots of whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
A couple shots of gin.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You're so a couple cocktails here and there, but
That's the Motley Crue experience meets
It was. And then we ended up in true 80s fashion. We went to Brandy's after, which is the gentleman's club, which is, I don't normally like strip clubs, but Brandy's is awesome. It's awesome.
It sounds like a 90s strip. Let's go to Brandy's. Right?
If you do it, that's the one you're going to do.
What'd you draw?
It's like imagine every Winnipeg strip club, but the exact opposite.
Okay.
That's what Brandy's is.
So it's great.
That's easy to do.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, listener, you're in for a treat this week. Before we get into it, Martin, is there anything that you got coming up that you want to let the world know about?
I do. On Tuesday, what is Tuesday? November. Sorry, November. Jesus
it's
Christ.
November.
January 3rd. I'll be performing at Comedy After Dark on West Pender in Vancouver. Show is at 7:30. It's an all-Asian show, but it also has one white guy, which is hilarious because it's my buddy Byron Bertram. He's on it, but no, it's going
to
be a good show.
Did you find the white guy, or did the white guy come to you guys and be like, can I play?
No, I think the booker hired, put him on there. I don't know why, but he's funny. You might have one token white guy in all Asian shows. So, I mean, you have one token white guy. He's our token white guy.
You should call
He's a good headliner, Byron Bertram. He's going to be there too. He like tours all around the Canada and the States.
That's awesome.
Really funny guy. And also, I have January 15th. I'm back at Clue Club. Which is a Sunday, and our headliner is Dino Archie. We had to cancel the last show in December because of the snowstorm.
Yes.
In Vancouver.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So we're doing the show, exact same lineup again, but we're not again, but we're doing the exact same show. We
like
had to cancel
it, like
so
it's
doing
again.
Exact same lineup.
Yeah, first time. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Ticket prices for anybody? How much are you looking at for these lovely evenings?
For the ticket prices for the show, I think around $15 for both shows each. So nice. Yeah, not bad
Very
deal
much
for Vancouver.
Worth it, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Very
yeah.
much worth it. Me and Jimmy saw Martin do stand up out in Vancouver, and not only is he the shit, but the rest of the agency does comedy with, I guess, and the one white guy are also the shit. cool. Charles, you're dropping something for the Nerdgasm coming soon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of plays into today's episode.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. So the end of the year always, it's like, it's nice to like do the summary of the year, and then for us at the Nerdgasm, we like to do our own Oscars meets the Razzies. It's the Nerdies. So we do the best. We award the best and the worst of the year. So, and I like to do honorable mentions for everything.
You do. You go deep cut.
I do. Yeah. I do. There are longest episodes are like usually like 30, 40 minutes because I got to give her.
I like to
There's
give
a
her.
Lot to say. You got to give There's a lot her. To say. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's fun. So it's the Nerdies. This will be our seventh Nerdies. So best and worst of 2022. That is going to be coming out. I'm going to try and do it earlier this year. I sometimes wait until the Oscars because, well, as we all know from last year, there's some gold sometimes that I try to capitalize on in the Nerdies.
Yeah.
But this year, I don't know. I might actually just do it earlier. But I'm going to be releasing my nominations for each category like within the next couple of days.
Sweet.
Yeah. Sweet. So
where do we find that?
YouTube.com/CFBomb, and it's free. Always free streaming right now for you guys.
And we don't make any money, guys.
No. No. That's why it's free.
And even if we did, I don't think we'd charge you. I think there's a level you meet in the industry.
Yeah.
And we're almost there.
Yeah, hey, you know,
it's been 5 years.
Yeah. Just keep going.
You got seven, I got five.
Yeah, there you go.
Right?
Like, there you go.
Yeah. Between the two of us, we got 12 years of movie knowledge and bullshit.
There you go.
Between the nine of us.
Yeah, yeah, it's important stuff.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There's a bunch of shit. If you haven't already subscribed to either Martin's page or Charles's page, you go to the link in our bio, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and everybody's shit is there. I think you can, I'm pretty sure you can even follow Emily's Dodgeball if you really want to get into it.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything that we do outside of this, we have a life, we do things, we get outside of this room as much as Shauna probably thinks I don't, we do. You can follow everybody there. So hit the link in our bio and you'll be in good hands with the Nerdies and you'll be in laughs with Martin out in Vancouver.
There you go.
That being said, you mentioned the Nerdies. You do it at the end of the year. Well, we've done a year in review like once or twice. And then we're like, Christmas gets in the fucking way. This one kind of, I think because of the holidays and how it worked out during week and weekend, we're doing a proper.
Yeah.
It's our fifth year anniversary. Ooh. Year in review. Because it'll
there
be five. It's 2018, November, we started this.
There you go.
2022 ends.
Love it.
Like we're approaching our 5 year, I should say. So.
Yeah, we're literally on the last day of the year, which is, that's kind of exciting.
Yeah. And I might have enough drive to put this out today.
There you go.
So, drink more of that Bailey's, Mike.
Yeah.
Right here.
Chin, you need chin, that chin. Drive juice.
Yeah. Chin, chin.
That's the energy.
In conjunction with the nerdies and the end of the year stuff, we're going to do a year in review. So what we're going to start with for you, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start the show like we start the first show of the year. We're going to end it the exact same way. Charles, what the fuck have you been watching on your holidays? Because you've been off school since like the 20th, eh?
Yeah. It was I've been off. I'm pretty much dreading coming back. Not gonna lie. I've been catching up on a lot of stuff. I'm not done Andor yet, but I'm
That's
loving
your problem.
It. It's yeah, big time. Yeah, but I'm really happy. Like I've managed to stay away from spoilers. I mean, I know Rogue One. Like I love. I understand. That's what
alert.
It'll go to. But
Darth Vader. Spoiler alert. Yeah. Death Star.
Anakin becomes Darth Vader.
yeah. No. Like I know that. But like
Luke is his sister.
But yeah, no, I Andor's been great. I've been catching up on a lot of stuff, though. I caught up most recently on White Lotus, which,
okay. Talk to me, Goose.
Wow. I haven't had, like, I don't even know if this makes sense, but that last episode, especially the last 20 minutes, reminded me of, like, the intensity of a Breaking Bad episode when you know something's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
and you just have to sit there and wait for it to happen, mm-hmm. but you're like, oh my God, I think I'm going to throw up, but this is amazing. But like, what's happening? But like, dude, it was so good. It was so good.
Mike
yeah.
White, I tell you.
Yeah.
Like, it's the director writer.
So should I watch it? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, Martin.
Martin, it's really good.
Have
man.
You seen either of them?
Okay. No, I haven't. I just,
yeah, dude.
Been watching other stuff. I might now that you guys have everyone's been talking about it on the group chat. White Lotus. So
it's really good, and what I love about it again is it's like compared to everything else because there's so much shit to watch.
Yeah,
6 hours is like first season, which I mean it sounds ridiculous, but at the same time, like it was so good, I crushed it in a day because I'm like I can't stop watching this.
Well, Steve Zahn was just a treat. Right?
Every like the
Steve Zahn's penis was a treat too.
Yeah, this is the thing I said to Claudia yesterday. I'm like, you know. Out of all the stuff I've seen, especially HBO, I love that there is more male-focused nudity, I would say. Like, they're open to everything, but so far the show has gone a lot more male than female, which is very rare.
Yeah.
Especially a show like this. So props to them. Right? Like,
well, and he, like, to kind of give Martin an idea here, do you know anything about it, Marty?
I know it's like kind of like a murder... centered on a murder,
yeah.
I guess.
Okay, it's a murder
yeah.
mystery.
Yeah.
It's a classic whodunit.
Yeah.
It takes place at what are the White Lotus properties. It's
right.
Group of resorts around the world. First one's in like far off Caribbean or
yeah,
Dominican
I think it's,
or,
yeah, it's Dominican. I think it's the Dominican.
It's South
or
America
like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then, or maybe it's Fiji. I don't know. It's deep. It's a tropical location.
Yeah. It's something mm-hmm. like, yeah. Yeah.
The next season is Italy at their Italian.
Sicily. Yeah.
Thank
it's
you.
In Sicily. Yeah.
But each season talks about a specific thing. The first season, the theme is greed. The second season, the theme is sex.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Now, rumor has it.
I didn't even know that.
He's going to do 7 seasons.
Oh, wow.
And there
seven
are
deadly.
Seven
all the 7 deadly,
deadly
sins?
Sins.
That's pretty cool.
Ooh.
That's pretty cool,
man.
Are we going
to have the 7th movie as Brad Pitt returns as Kevin with Morgan Freeman?
You're going to see what, like, it's going to be all about the
detective!
Box. Oh, my God. Oh my God, that's great!
So that's the rumor.
Okay,
unconfirmed.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it. You guys sold me. I'm
Maybe
gonna watch
I'm
it.
Maybe I'm talking about the wrong show, but did not someone tell me that this writer and director is like was on Survivor or had
well,
something to do
Survivor.
With Survivor? Okay, so he does. Okay,
yeah. Mike,
and
he did one season.
He did. Okay,
it's now like apparently people are going to rewatch this because
yeah,
they're like, who is this guy?
Yeah, like I get it. Because
he was a contestant,
that too,
or was
like,
he a writer on it? Like, what was he?
He was a contestant.
No, he competed, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. And when you see him, he's also an actor. He played one of the teachers in School of Rock.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, the redhead. Is it
Blondie,
the redhead?
Blondie redhead guy.
Like Blondie redhead.
Not
kind of, the one that's dating Sarah Silverman in School of Rock.
That's the one.
Oh, my God.
That's Mike White.
He's a great
Not to be
writer.
Confused with School of Cock. That's
no.
a totally
yeah.
different movie.
Starring Jack Blackcock.
That's that's the porno version.
No, but he's a very good writer. Like
yes.
he's written a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize it was him.
That's
okay.
Him. Yeah.
So it makes sense why he is so good at writing dialogue and knowing how to do character studies of people. Because it's very, a lot of the show is like, the whole thing is
what
kind of
a, person is this character?
Yeah, and it's kind of a character study, right?
It totally
and that's what's neat about it is like, it's like Clue. It really just reminds me of Clue, essentially.
It's It's what I think he was like. He saw Knives Out and was like, we don't do enough whodunits.
Yeah. And like what I love about this is there's never, at least so far, there's no aspect of it. Like the audience is the detective, just like Clue.
Yes.
There's no inspector there. There's no like detective. It's us seeing everything and we're like putting the pieces together.
Go back and watch season two and the whole story and everything that happens is played out in the first.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Oh, Martin, go ahead.
If I watch this, will I feel like the Batman?
No.
Because I want to be a detective,
You might
too.
Feel a little
World's
bit
greatest
like,
detective.
Moira. There's been a Moira.
You're going to feel anxious.
Yes.
It's a
stressful.
It's a constant rise to an answer. Like, each episode is more intense than the next. Some of them, nothing happens, but everything is crazy stupid. Like, you're just like, oh, my God, is this person really doing this?
Yeah.
Why is this happening? Where is this going? Like, you.
And in terms of how TV goes, it's very rare that you still see 6 episodes. I think season 2 is 7 episodes. Like, and they're no more than an hour. Like, I think there's the odd episode that's, like, 45 to 50, maybe.
Long movie.
But it's, yeah, like, and what I love about that is because it's not the generic 13 episode, there's no filler episode. There's no like derail.
Yes, yeah.
Every episode shit goes down and it ends on a cliffhanger. That's why season 1 I was like, I started it at like 10 in the morning and like, yeah, by like the afternoon I was on the me and Claire on the last episode were like, but you can't stop.
You just suck like, it on you your just, pen. You're like,
oh my
God,
yeah. And like you also, they get you so involved with some of the personal lives of these characters that you also forget, oh yeah, there's a murder.
Yeah,
like I would forget, and Martin, then they'd bring it back, and then you're like, "Oh yeah,
Martin." The murder happens in the first 5 minutes of both first episodes, and then murder is solved at
like,
the end.
But like Law and Order style, like someone finds a body, and then it goes, and then it's like 5 days earlier.
Yeah,
and it just does that. So like that, they plant the seed right at the beginning. Like, don't forget, this season is going to end with a moita.
Yeah, a moita.
But yeah, like literally,
not like a Motaville moita, but a moita.
A moita. Yeah.
Okay, so how many, because this season was all about sex.
Man.
How many
orgasms.
How many dirty old men played by F. Murray Abraham do you give it out of 10?
F.
Murray
him.
Abraham's in it, Martin.
Very good. Like, really good, too.
You know, the cut on his head never got solved. Like, he wakes up the next day and he's like, I cut my head. And I'm like,
he says
how?
That he knocked it on the nightstand when he was trying to sleep.
I think he fucked those two prostitutes and didn't want to admit
that
it.
That would be funny. That'd be funny.
It'll all make sense for you, Martin, when you watch it. But watch the first season because it's all about the concierge.
It's totally, honestly, I'm so into it, honestly. I haven't been this gripped by a show and, like, blown away by a season finale.
Because you see yourself
finale.
On screen. There's something in every character because they're human. Because
well, the way that he does it, you can't help but be like, I wouldn't do that. Like, you can't help but make your pink making decisions or you're being like, run away. Like, the amount of times I've said, like, just go.
Yeah.
Why are you getting into the car?
Stop.
Why are you getting in their car?
Stop, Jennifer.
Just fucking go. Yeah. I don't, honestly, man, it's a 10 out of 10 for me.
10 dirty men out of 10.
Oh, I loved it. Like, that's, 10 dirty men. Not 10 angry 10 men. It's 10 dirty men. 10 angry, dirty men. It's amazing. And I get the Jennifer Coolidge. I love that she's finally getting, like, praise and respect for, like, her talent because she is unbelievable.
She is unbelievable. She really is.
Oh, my God. She is unreal. She's giving, like, beyond Oscar-worthy performances, even with her size. Sometimes she just makes noises like, And it's like, oh my God, this woman is like incredible.
You know she's a comedian, right?
Yeah.
Like a stand-up comedian.
Did you see when she won her speech and they started playing her off? She started dancing. She's like, I don't give a shit. This is my moment.
Yeah.
She started dancing and kept talking that they actually brought the music down because like the audience started standing up and cheering. Like she's amazing.
For someone who we all got a chubby for.
Yeah, for his mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
do you know what I mean? Like,
that's why. And even still, Martin, I'll be watching an episode and I'll be like, oh my God. They're talking about they're gonna do this to Stifler's mom. They can't do that. Like, I just call her Stifler's mom all the time.
It's like, so fucking iconic that like the first meeting we really get of her is this sexy MILF.
Yeah.
Hanging out.
Yeah.
Seducing a younger boy.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
And now she's parlayed that into this flighty.
Yeah.
Character that she just knows
unstable.
How to unstable and broken and fragile
and you sympathize like you
do
you sympathize even in the cringiest moments you are still sympathizing for this woman like and there are some cringe moments with just dialogue and character interaction with her because, yeah, like...
I'm going to watch it after this episode.
It's good, man. Dude. It's good. Like, it's hard not to get hooked. It's really
I'm
hard
doing nothing today but watching movies for the next few days.
Yeah,
I have
man.
Monday off, too, so that's
Hell
all I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay, Hell this yeah. is what Martin has to do. In the Debate Boys chat group, every time you watch an episode, message the group and be like, is it blank? And ask us, and we'll play hot or cold with you.
That's funny.
You're on to them. Yeah, you know, you're on. Watson?
What if definitely. I solve it right away, like Detective Benoit Blanc?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I do declare.
Yeah, that's like a murder.
Martin, what'd you watch this week?
I can talk about two things, and I'll leave it to you guys what you want me to talk about. I watched Avatar, The Way of Water, and Glass Onion, Knives Out. Which one do you want to talk about?
I want Avatar because I'm about to watch Glass Onion because I watched Knives Out 2 days ago for the first time.
Oh, how'd you like it?
I'll get to it.
Great.
So do Avatar for the folks out there.
Okay. Have you guys seen it?
No. And I'm very much...
I have not. I have no care, though. Like, I'm not into it at
all.
Yeah.
Like, I'll get to it. So you can do a hot spoiler if you want. It will be fine.
I don't know if you see the first one visually amazing, striking movie. Story was decent. Same thing for this one. I think this is just the first one, but in water. And I think James Cameron just wanted to do Abyss Part 2. Got Abyss Part 2.
Is there invisible water?
I'm not gonna lie. Like, some of the animals look amazing. The visuals, like I said, especially when they go to the nighttime and it changes. It's just a whole new level of, I would say this, I can't wait for this movie to come out on Disney Plus so I can watch it at home and I'm going to take some mushrooms.
See, and like.
That makes sense.
Oh, I love that you said that because. Because
I love mushrooms.
Well, absolutely. Pro mushroom here. But everything I've been reading, I love that you said it's Avatar but in water.
Yeah.
Because even the trailer, I'm like. Okay, so the only difference I see is they have a kid, which obviously is going to,
you know.
They have
four kids, I hear.
So, they have fucking family.
Fucked.
So
they fucked for 12 years and made four kids.
There's a civilization in water now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's an ecosystem in the water, essentially. So,
Martin, I understand that there are multiple clans of the Na'vi, like more than one kind of Na'vi or something like that.
Well, the Na'vi were the tree people. I can't remember what these people are called, but they're called something else. They're not
they
called
live
the Na'vi
in the water.
Because they were just like, there's different, I think there's... three or four different clans. Like if you watch the first one, he goes and asks for help from all the clans.
Oh, yes. So, yes.
This is one of the clans that he asks for help.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, like I, and that's the thing. Visually, I'm not shocked because even seeing the trailer in the theater, I was like, yeah, looks great. It looks more like a video game I would love to play. Then say watch because it also reminds me of watching just.
You probably made it with
scenes.
Unreal Engine.
Well, yeah, like exactly right, but like. Again, at this point, like when Avatar 1 came out, I'm pretty sure it was 2009, we had Iron Man, we had just the beginning. But look at everything Marvel has done since the first one. Now, if you're not going to have a really epic story, those visuals are great and all, but it's like, great.
What is the story, like, Martin? Like they go swimming? Well, what happens?
Well, so you know, you guys remember the first one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Defending
okay,
the tree,
so the first one, he defeats
humans.
The sky people or the humans.
Yeah.
They get sent back to Earth.
Yeah.
So years later, what happens is they come back. So now they're back. They establish a bigger base.
Okay.
And basically, instead of the mineral that they're trying to find, there's a new
unobtainium
raw resource on the planet.
Oh my god.
That they harvest, and it's even more like more valuable than the mineral that they were harvesting.
Okay. What is the mineral?
So it's not a mineral. So here's the thing. It is a movie about the environment. So it's not a mineral. It's like a little goop that they harvest from these. It looks like they're whales.
Hang on. Goop? Like,
it's like some sort of liquid
vagina?
In the whales. So what the liquid does, spoiler alert. Sorry, we should have said this earlier.
That's fine. We did.
Mike spoiler. Just put it at the beginning. Spoiler. But what they do is they inside of these whales, there's like maybe... You know, I'll say like a 20 ounces of this liquid that makes people stops the aging process.
Oh, so it's like a vanity, like a
it's a fountain of youth.
But they're using whale oil, which we still like. You know what I mean?
Whale jizz.
So, yeah.
Whale jizz for youth. Got it.
All right. So it is exactly what you said, though. It's still very much the first one. It's like
in water.
Yeah, I can't help but thinking of that clip from 22 Jump Street when Ice Cube just keeps reminding them it's the same movie. Like, yeah, he keeps saying, like, you go, you find the supplier, you find the dealer, you motherfuckers go to college. We've done this before. Like, I can't help but that's what it is. But like you said, in water. So yeah, like visually, again, great. But it's like, I wait, the way you said it, I am actually like down to watch it at home on my big, on my screen with my sound system on mushrooms. That sounds like a way more exciting way to watch it.
Oh yeah, it's great. And you know, it, I mean, like I said, it's, I thought it was a bit too long. I think it was like 3.5 hours. It could have been hour, half an hour less if they cut one of the characters out. But I don't know. They might play some important. What I think it's because they play an important role down the line in the story. Because what I heard when I was listening to the interview with James Cameron on what's his name, the Ozark guy,
Bateman's
podcast.
Yeah. Oh
wow. They said that they filmed the first two already for the first two sequels.
Yeah. They did
because one of the characters is a human child. So if they didn't film it, then he would age too much. So they couldn't put him in the second one. So they filmed the first two. The first two were done.
Things problem.
Yeah, and they filmed a bunch of his scenes for the later episodes. I think there's going to be only total of three. So they filmed or total of three more sequels. So they filmed a lot of his scenes already. Yeah.
Okay. See, can I ask you a question, Martin?
Yeah.
I saw a review of it, and the guy said that he said exactly what you said, but he started to getting into the mechanics of the film. And he started to say that, like, each scene has, like, this grand entrance with this amazing camera work and CGI. And then in between this entrance and this outro of a scene that are both amazing is this tiny little bit of dialogue and story. And then he expects that the grand film that he's made visually is supposed to fill the gaps with the story. Is that a proper assessment?
Yeah, that's a proper assessment. Like I said, visually a great movie. Like, it's amazing to look at. There's lots of cool animals. But yeah, like I said, there's not. I found the dialogue a little bit lacking, and also Sigourney Weaver's back.
Yeah, I heard about that.
She plays another character in this movie.
Is she in the Na'vi body too?
They Na'vied her.
Yeah, they did, right?
Martin.
Yeah, but they didn't. So what happens is, I'm gonna spoil it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
If you guys want her.
Oh,
you guys
care? No, go for it.
Everybody spoils movies. We don't. Let's fucking.
I don't know how it happens, but like they didn't really explain it. But her avatar body gets impregnated for some reason.
Yeah,
and we don't know how.
Yeah.
So then that impregnation, a child comes out of it, and then the main character, Sam Worthington and Zoe Saldana's character, adopt the kid that comes out of that impregnation.
Okay. My understanding
and
is...
And it's Sigourney Weaver's voice, but she's like a teenager, and it's weird because like she's in love with this human boy who's also like 17, and she's 17, but she's older, so you're just like hearing her voice, which is not 17.
I'd
have kind of get like these pedo vibes a little bit. I was like, what's going on?
I'd have more respect for James Cameron. Like, look, dude, I get it. You love working with her. You regretted killing her off 10 years ago. I get it. I would have more respect for you if you beer fest and were like, she had a twin sister who does the same fucking thing.
They already used that in the first
or
one.
Or like,
though. They used that with
James
Cameron.
Oh, yeah,
character.
That's right. Whoa, yeah. Jake Sully. But the way that he's explaining it, I'm just like, are you insane? Like, that's nuts.
I took
even for Avatar.
I took a rewatch of it, and I learned that, like, Sully almost dies in the end, but then they fix him because he's in the Avatar body. But she dies. Sigourney Weaver dies.
She does.
So what I think what they're alluding to, because I asked the same question to somebody at work, and they're like, well, they took her body, and they, you know how they make an avatar for you?
Yeah.
And then you hair braid connect to it?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
They skip that process. So the technology is there to rebirth her as a live Na'vi character.
Oh.
See, what I think was
with
my theory
DNA
about the whole thing.
Yeah, she's a clone.
Is that, because you know how they connect her, right? You're talking about when they connect her to try to, try to download her consciousness.
Yeah.
What I think was the planet still wanted her there in some way, so they created like a Christ child with no parents.
Yes. No, I think you're right. I like, yeah. Sure.
She has these weird powers. She has these weird powers with the animals and the planets that no one else has. And she interacts with ways of different things.
Is that because she was a botanist before? So when they cloned her, they just carried her skill set over into her clone? Yeah.
Can you tell me one thing?
It's like I said, it's stories, but the visuals are amazing.
Martin,
like, the visuals get a 10 out of 10.
I can't remember
sure.
if he died in the first one, but is Giovanni Ribisi back in this at all?
He does a cameo. He does a cameo.
That's hilarious. That's funny.
He's in a couple of scenes.
That's great.
Okay.
That's great.
Okay. Yeah. Does it, like, Ian and me and Em did an episode. We did the first Real Talk of the Month, and Ian's like, I'm going to go see it. And I was like, we should all go see it together, because me and Em are like, fuck it, I don't care. All I see is, sadly, a Canadian director who I don't want to shit on because he's our own, right? Cabas Casing, Ontario.
Oh, he's really rich. You can shit on him.
I know I can. All right, I'm dunking on him today. Yeah. But like, all I see is a guy hanging on to his relevance, using his last big hit to stay relative. At least when he did Titanic and then wanted to become relative again, he was like, I'm going to make an environmental movie in the sci-fi genre. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Now he's just going back to the well. Like, what? when you tell me that a movie has to make $6 billion to make money,
yeah,
and it doesn't have a fucking story, because I trust Martin's opinion.
Oh, no, yeah.
What
yeah,
the
yeah.
fuck are you giving this man money for?
I mean, but the sad thing is, I'm like, we're not, like, I'm sure you guys read, it passed the 1 billion mark already. Came out 2 weeks ago.
I'm angry about that.
Like, that's why.
But I wanted it to fail.
But that's what I'm saying is, same here. And he even, didn't he say something stupid? Like, if it does, I won't release the other ones.
Watch it high.
But see, I think it's against.
And then tell
people.
Me. I was with my parents, so I couldn't watch it high, but watch it high and let me know.
It's a blockbuster, and that will always bring people to a theater. Like, I don't know how many times people would go see a random Marvel movie and be like, hey, man, can you give me a rundown of, like, the past, like, 9 movies so I can just go see this one?
Yeah, true.
Do you know what I mean? So I think that. The other thing, too, is, like, people are still remembering how fascinated they were by the first one. And again, the first one was revolutionary for the time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
For 3D.
But how many 3D fucking movies have been out since? Everything's in 3D now. So it's not as revolutionary.
That's why,
what
I'm
like,
saying. Like,
do you know what I mean? So it's got to have a good story. And knowing that it doesn't, I'm like, wow.
Well, it sounds like it's got a good story, but it's the same story.
It is the
first
same story.
The story's cool.
Except Sigourney Weaver's back.
Right?
I want that spinoff movie. I just want to see what happened. I want them to fully explain it in detail.
She's not the only one who's back.
So I can understand.
Sigourney versus
She's not the only one back. Ooh. Oh, yeah. The old Army dude.
The old Army dude, right? What was that, Mark?
Yeah, he's back.
He is? Is he even angrier?
So how they bring him back? Yeah, he is very angry. How they bring him back is they had an ability to, like, download their memories before they fought the final battle. Oh. And then what they did was they put those memories into the avatar body of them. So they cloned the new avatar body for them.
Whoa.
And then
so Dr. Ford from Westworld is in there.
So they're technically not the same person, but they are the same person.
I see what you mean. Okay. Wow. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was great in the first one. And that
He was the great villain.
That last boss fight, again, like, because Avatar reminds me a lot of video game format. And it sounds like even the second one. That's why I'm saying, like, playing this as a game, I think, would be way better. I probably would love it.
It would feel
but
like.
But watching there and sitting there, it's probably sometimes like, oh.
I want it to be like the underwater scenes in a Mario game.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
I
yeah,
want
yeah.
that to be the game format.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
When I was watching this movie, all I thought was Niagara Falls, Ontario. Marineland is the place to go.
Everyone loves Marineland.
Okay, how many 20-ounce containers of whale sperm out of 10 do you give it?
I'm going to give it a 7 because, like I said, the visuals were amazing. So the visuals 10 out of 10, but story, I would give like a 5, maybe.
Okay.
Sort of bounce it out around a 7.
Sure. Makes sense. All right.
Acting was good. Don't get me wrong. Acting was good. People were great. Zoe Saldana's great in it. Kate Winslet's great in it.
Jake Sully.
Right? So.
I love her.
I want
She's
that to
great.
Be my ringtone. Oh, Jake Sully.
I hope they do at least one more Star Trek with that cast, like Zoe and Quentin.
She's
and
great as Uhura.
Yeah, she was great.
I used to say really Uhura.
Ahura.
It's Ahura.
But that's
Ahura. Ahura.
But Soprano say
Ahura.
She was Ahura.
She was Okay, I'll close this out. We're on time here. So I watched
did you watch, Michael?
I'll get into my new shit. Thank you.
Hey, Michael, what
get
did
into
you
your
watch?
New poops.
What my new poops? I watched Knives Out. I took Mark's advice. And
the first one?
First one.
Okay.
Watched and we're gonna watch Glass Onion tonight.
Nice.
And because I need to see the Edward Norton
Magnolia. Elon Musk?
What he pulls from Magnolia.
Yeah,
Tom
yeah,
Cruise's
yeah.
Outfit.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I didn't realize that until they showed it online, yeah.
And
I burst out laughing.
I know about the Angela Lansbury, which is great because Murder, She Wrote in a Murder Mystery.
Yeah.
Like, anyways, Rian Johnson is. This is what I love the Brothers Bloom. I
when
love
when he's
Brick.
Doing his own shit.
I love
yeah,
Luke.
Stick
he's
to
a,
that.
He's
don't
a master.
Do Star Wars.
He's a brilliant man.
I feel so bad for him.
Continuing a storyline is not his thing. I think original content is.
He had a catalog before that I don't think will ever get seen because there's so many ass bent people out there about
about Last Jedi. But again, he's not going anywhere near Star Wars.
Anyways, give me a Rian Johnson Star Wars, but a murder mystery Star Wars movie or whatever.
Sure, yes.
I do declare a Jedi has been murdered. They should have just brought in Daniel Craig.
I want to see from him.
They brought in Daniel Craig after the massacre at the Jedi Temple in Episode 3, and he's like, well, "Oh, dear Lord, there's been murders."
Let me speak here. So, I love Murder on the Orient Express. I love a murder mystery.
Yeah,
because I'm the guy who's like, it's them. 6 minutes in, and then like 20 minutes in, I'm like, no, it's them. Right? Like I fall for every fucking trap down the line. I think this is one of Daniel Craig's best performances. And that is just, he does not do funny.
No.
He does not do silly. He does not
And not this outrageous.
I declare.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
He does not
He's
do.
He's super outrageous.
He fucking woke up one day. He's like, I'm just going to be Foghorn Leghorn for 30 days.
He reminds me of Colonel Sanders' son.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that is a murder afoot.
Yeah.
Here.
Ooh.
Oh, you hang on 1 second.
He's got that like, southern drawl.
He does. I said. Oh, chicken never comes home on time, right? Like, and no matter what he says, it's like Matthew McConaughey. No matter what he says in that accent, he can get away with. There's a line in the new one, Martin, that they cut where, like, apparently he wants to order a drink.
Yeah.
And he just goes into this, like, complete improv line, and Norton and like he just broke the whole cast up.
Oh, I've seen the new one, Mike.
Yeah, but the line was cut from the film. It didn't make it. It was one of the outtakes. And
that's great.
I bet you it's going to get released, apparently. But I thought that everybody's great. Everybody lifts appropriately.
Yeah.
I knew it was Evans from the beginning. I just didn't know what he was doing in what capacity.
Yeah.
And when he comes out and he was like, listen, I'm here to help you. As soon as he did that,
I was like, well, it's him.
Yeah. You know it's him in some capacity.
I was like, it's definitely him. The reveal was still great.
Yes.
It was totally awesome.
Because it was buried so, like, if you haven't seen it yet, I don't want to ruin it for you. But, like, they do the... this is what it is.
Yeah.
And then at the last minute, they're like, no, it's this is what it is.
Yeah.
Do not read that blood toxicology report. That is a wrong report. Yeah. You know, like, and switching it at the last minute and keeping you guessing is a lot of fun.
They also pull, he's very much a Sherlock Holmes at the very end because he always has that sassy, I actually knew a minute in.
Yeah.
He always does that. Like, he says everything. Like, oh, it was a chandelier because blah, 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 blah. But then at the last point, he's like, also, right when I walked in, you had a stain here, and that meant murder.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, yeah. Right? But, like, he has that sassy little...
Well, when he says things, too, like, I knew from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And he points down to her shoe, and there's the drop of blood.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, you are, like, he is a Southern Hercule Poirot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's doing the Agatha Christie bit. So... all in all, I give Knives Out like 9 out of 10 knives.
Yeah.
Right.
You're gonna love the second one.
Dude, the second one's great. I like it better. It's great.
I am such a champion for Batista. I don't care what anybody
he's
says.
He's great in it, dude.
I think he knows exactly what to do.
Well,
now
did you see
Hollywood.
What Rian Johnson said?
What?
He's like, Rian Johnson said, I think Batista is the best wrestler turned actor ever.
There, you know what? He didn't get the same fair shake that Cena and Johnson got.
Yeah, but he's also been picking, I think, better roles for himself than they even did.
Yes. Like, well, they both jumped and they've done the wrestler trajectory.
Yeah.
It's like, do a kids movie, do some big action movies.
And he has his own kids movie, but it's not as much of like a
kids movie.
Forcing it down your throat.
It's not the Tooth Fairy, right?
Yeah.
Like whatever Dwayne did.
He's done his comedy. He did his generic, like, I'd say his most wrestling-esque movie that I can think of is like when he was literally a one-word villain in the Bond movie.
Right.
In Skyfall, I think. No, Spectre.
Spectre.
He just went,
you know,
oh,
that,
shit.
You know that Craig punched him for real.
Yeah, and then
ran.
But did you see what Craig, one of my great, that was a great interview that Craig said to, or Batista said about Craig. He goes, yeah, I could tell Daniel was way happier to be on this set than he was when I worked with him on Spectre. Because remember, he was miserable. Because that was the movie that he got so injured, he had to get surgery. And Sony kept being like, you need
was
to hurry
Quantum?
Up and heal. No, that was Spectre. That was the one, remember, they were like asking him about the next Bond, and he's like, I'd rather smash my wrists. I'd rather cut my wrists on this table before I talk another. Yeah, it's because he got injured so bad he needed surgery, and the whole time Sony was like, so you think like a couple weeks or like, you know, and he's like, are you serious? Yeah, and they kept rushing him. Also, that movie sucks.
My body, my timeline.
Yeah.
Anyways, Knives Out's fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't wait for tonight. I can't, like, Kate
Kate Hudson's great. Janelle Monáe.
I'll say this: I'm not sure if this is the right term because I don't really know what it means, but it's very meta. Is that right, Charles?
Yeah, yeah. It's
does it break fourth wall? Does it?
It does it in a way with it not looking at the camera and being like boom, but it is. It's doing it in a way like Don't Look Up, where you're like, oh, this is Elon Musk. Oh, this is
it's commentary.
What's going on with Facebook,
okay.
Right? Like, it's doing that. It's doing that.
I dig that.
Yeah, and it does in a very Brothers Bloom way where you're just like, oh, you laugh right away because you're like, oh my god.
I love the MacGuffin built into Ana de Armas.
Yeah.
Every time she lies, she pukes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was funny.
That really drew.
Yeah.
Like the one time where she just lets it rip all in his face.
Yeah.
Like, and this one, like Glass Onion just looks funnier. It looks more over the top. It looks funnier.
It's like anything that's like the way I look at it, anything that's supposed to be a good sequel. They've established this world and now it's like, you know what you're getting into. So we're just going to go even better with it. You know what I mean?
And
like,
he got paid $60 million for two of them.
He did, eh? Yeah.
$60 million for this one and the third one.
Because Netflix, it's Netflix movies now, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
They own it.
They own it.
Yeah. I'm in. For Benoit, balls.
Benoit
Block, not balls.
Benoit Block.
Well, and like you guys, we've all seen the Dancing Daniel Craig video. Like,
oh, yeah.
All, like,
did you know Taika directed that, eh?
Really?
He did.
That's for what? Like a fashion line?
I think it's for cologne or vodka.
It's for something.
It's something. I think it's cologne, actually. I think it is. Because it's supposed to be like he has so much confidence after he puts on the cologne that he does that whole thing.
It's
a very Taika-esque, like,
well,
on
well,
the nose.
Why is it that like every 10 years we get a stupid great dancing video?
Yeah.
Like, we've got the Walk-In.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That was great.
Sam Rockwell.
That was great. Yeah,
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Now Daniel Craig.
Yeah,
like who's the next person who's just gonna be like?
It's just the most classic, classic thing for people to enjoy. Like everybody can just kind of
break
get
loose.
Get into a dance, like a cool stylized dance, and then you see someone that you don't expect. Like I also think Daniel Craig's not the guy you usually would expect that from.
No,
necessarily,
he
wouldn't. Right?
All right. We are pressed for time. We have an hour to get through six
Let's
segments.
Do it. We can do this.
We can do this. All right, listeners. So, as promised, there's your watch list. I'm sure a ton of you have watched fucking Knives Out, but Avatar is just Avatar 1 with water.
Lots of water.
And,
lots of it.
If you haven't checked out The Lotus, go get your
almost
a
way
on.
Of water, if you would say.
Oh.
The way of water.
Like the way of water is through this film. We're going to get into our year in review. So let's start it off with what we're here for. And unfortunately, Jimmy was supposed to be here today. Jimmy, we love you. We miss you. We hope your throat gets better. He is putting up with the flu that I think we've all had at some point. I had it for a month.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking.
It sucks.
It's worse than COVID.
Yeah.
Like, makes me.
Let's be real. Jimmy was doing lines in the back of a toilet in somewhere in Osborne Village last night. That's why he's not here today.
The old nose flu.
That's how you get it off the back of a toilet. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Don't know
not
how
clean.
Long it took
not
to
clean.
Learn not to
Jimmy, just use a mirror like normal people.
Exactly.
You'll be fine.
Or like a key. You know, your key's cleaner than a fucking back of a toilet. Anyway, so first up is favorite debate of the year. It is us debaters here, right? As you've noticed, I'm sure, throughout 2022, there's your real talk people, there's your debater people. So this is favorite debate of the year. And I will set the tone for this and the time limit. I'll make this really fucking easy. Mine was 177, the best erotic fan fiction. And if you missed it, ladies and gentlemen, the premise was simple. It was like somewhat of a horror theme. I've exasperated all of the ideas that I could come up with for a second round of it, which we'll get to in a second. But you had to come up with a couple. So like a male, man, woman, man, didn't matter. A place. And write some erotic fan fiction about them. And the best one to give you some wood, make you a little wet, whatever, what have you, was the winner. And I did Sidney Prescott and Ghostface.
Oh, that's great.
At the Overlook Hotel. That was my original, right?
That's great.
Where Sidney and Ghostface realized that no matter what happened to them, they weren't going to be able to get over the fact that they now get off on pain and torture. So that they booked a weekend away at the scariest place in horror history to fuck and dress up and whatever. So that was my bit. This time though, I would have done Dirty Dancing. It's like a Johnny and Baby, and I'm mixing it in with the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh yeah.
So post
that's fun.
That right? So I would do like post film. They leave the Catskills and they go on tour together and start like a traveling dance school.
Yeah,
and they car breaks down. That piece of shit car breaks down right in front of Frankenfurter's house on the exact same night.
That's great.
As the movie takes place. So they show up for Time Warp.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh my God, we could teach all these people to dance. But then they find out that they want to elevate their bedroom life a little bit, right? So Frankenfurter takes them on this like sexual 24-hour run of like all the things to do.
They realize
there's a point to staying here. There's all these people who want to dance and fuck. Yeah. So they open up a dance school that also doubles as a sex club. That would be what I would do this time. So ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't listened to that debate, it's fun. It's awkward as fuck because it's three dudes trying to talk about erotic fan fiction.
Michael, may I interject?
Yes.
I would have given you extra points for your new idea if you said the song of this new movie would have been I've Had a Time Warp of Life.
Fuck! That's good.
Fair enough. Yeah, I did. That's a missed opportunity.
That's great.
For sure.
That's great.
I've had the Let's Do the Time Warp Dance. So that's my favorite debate. Martin, what was yours?
I've got to go with Survivor. We did two episodes of that. I think it was just something that we'd never done before. So it opened up the doors to exploring different ways different ways of doing our traditional debates.
Yeah.
Stuff that I think we're going to be experimenting with more in the new year.
100%.
What about I do differently? Nothing, because my character won.
Who was it again? It was, what's her face?
Colleen
Rafferty from SNL. And that was fun too, because Jimmy did the first one, and then Charles did the second one.
That's right.
Because your guys were still in for the second one.
Jimmy's
were pretty much out.
No,
it was what was so fun about it for you, Martin?
I think it was just fun just seeing how these characters would go all the way in Survivor. And my fun part was you gave my characters way too much credit. And I think I just sold them to you too well that, like, Sergeant, like, you know, Kirk Lazarus playing Sergeant Osiris should have been eliminated way early, but sold it so well that, you know, he would act his way into it. You know?
Yeah, he did. He used exactly
same thing with Ace Ventura. Yeah. Ace Ventura should have been eliminated day one, but you know what? I kept saying he was a detective, a pet detective.
Didn't we have like the Four Horsemen? But it was like
Four Horsewomen.
Four Horsewomen.
All new characters. Charles.
It's like Furiosa. Yeah.
Colleen Rafferty, Furiosa. Who else was?
It was Furiosa, Ellen Ripley, the Bride, and not the Bride. It was.
What was the Bride?
Ellen Ripley, Furiosa, Kit Girl, and somebody else.
Kit Girl. Yeah, that's right. Maybe Laura. Yeah. It might have been Tomb Raider.
Laura Croft. It was Laura Croft. Laura Croft won everything.
Yeah, basically. That's right. Yeah,
she's winning everything.
That
was meant for that
sick
game.
Lady lineup, though.
That was
like doing the Expendables with those characters alone would have been wild.
Well, okay. Now here's the thing: like we did Survivor, we have not touched The Amazing Race.
Oh yeah,
we have not touched
Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen. We have not touched Big Brother.
Yeah,
we have not
that
touched
could be fun.
The Bachelor.
Yeah,
like.
Oh, Bachelor would be fun too.
You know what I mean? So, like, we've got a year of these kinds of episodes.
Totally.
Definitely. And, like, let's do one every 3 months. Let's do one every quarter. Every quarter.
Mm-hmm. Every quarter.
And we'll take a new reality show in 2023. Somebody write this down.
The interns are on it.
Yeah. Oh, you mean my fucking kitten? The only thing that comes in here and fucks shit up that should be charged for it. We'll do that. We'll definitely do that. That was so much fun. And it's a two-parter too. Like
it was a long episode, but it was good.
Yeah, we did it over two fucking days. We didn't do it just in one afternoon. We were
going
to.
That's right. That's right.
But we did it. Yeah. Back to back weekends.
I love how I sold Colleen Rafferty. I gave her too much power, but I was in it. I was like, "Yep, she won."
Well, she knows what batting someone knockers feels like. So that's definitely something in her wheelhouse to do. Like, she could just bat people's knockers in the middle of the night and fuck with them, and everybody's like,
smoking cigarettes. How did she get cigarettes on the island? I don't know.
And they're endless. It never stops. Yeah. Even when it goes out, it just lights back up.
All right, Charles, what's your favorite?
Man, there's so many good ones here. Like, we had a great season this year.
We did, like, 30 debates.
Like, I do have to say I will always love, like, fan castings are always so much fun, and this year was a good one. Invincible 007, like, those were really good
ones. But the 007 one was hilarious because when we did it, Jimmy still thought we were doing it the other way.
Oh, like, it had to be all Wes Anderson, like,
influence. Yeah, so he did all Muppets, and he was like, it's going to work anyway.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That was so funny.
Oh, shit. Yeah, those fan casting ones are fun.
I think, though, yeah, the one that we really had fun, I think we started the year early with this one, was Paddington 2 versus Citizen Kane.
Yes.
Because I think that was the first time we had ever done something where we went into teams
yep.
and we were, like, assigned a subject and we had to go up against each other, and I thought it was hilarious.
Again, more of that needs to be done.
Yeah.
We have, like, six. Yeah. There's six styles.
I really like that there's the potential for decade versus decade of,
right?
Like, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Decade versus decade will be like, yeah. All right, 80s versus 90s.
Yeah.
And you've got three movies to use as fodder.
Yeah.
And you figure, and then we team up, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I pick one, you pick one, and then we flip for one or something, yeah. And then yeah. we go against each other for that.
Yeah.
No, that was good because it just kept coming back to he's a fucking teddy bear. Like,
yeah, yeah,
Martin
yeah.
just kept hard in the paint about being a teddy bear.
And that's literally was like, I was like,
he's a bear.
If I could do it all over again, I would have went Paddington 2.
Fucking traitor. Orson Welles will have your head for that.
It made me want to be a better man.
I will say, though, the one thing, unless it was this debate, I don't think I ever would have really watched Citizen Kane again, because I watched it in film school and it was like, I get it. But rewatching it at my age now, I definitely appreciated it a lot more.
Yeah, in film school, you were probably like, okay, they put the end at the beginning. But now you're like, I see why they put
only,
the end at the beginning.
And the movie's only like an hour and a half. When I was in film school, I'm pretty sure I thought it was 6 hours long because it felt that way. Like, because I couldn't appreciate it, right? And like, for instance, even now, like the way they progress story by just being headlines, like, meh, blah, blah, blah. At that time, I'm like,
Kane loses his empire.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is this? But now I'm like, oh, this is great. It also reminded me of Simpsons. Very, like, Simpsons totally makes fun of Citizen Kane. Everything.
Mr. Burns is.
Everything.
Is Citizen
yeah,
Kane.
Yeah, he is.
Kane,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, that was a good one. I want to do more of those, but I always, because we started this with, every movie is a good movie in some capacity, so you can't say which one's better. But that one was fun because it was the one to oust the best movie ever.
Yeah, and we were ruthless with each other.
I know,
right?
Like it had to be discussed good. Because yeah. how does a movie about a childhood character take out what is regarded as by every actor, editor, producer,
yeah.
filmmaker, studio yeah. head, the best movie ever? Like,
yeah.
that's a conversation. So more of that, please. Yes, in 2023.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. You guys want to move on?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, that was great.
Okay. We did that in 10 minutes. I think we can do this, guys.
Ooh.
So next on the list, segment number two, best film of the year. Charles, lead us off. Which was
Damn.
Your favorite watch?
Damn.
And you can
hard,
have your honorable
man.
Mentions, but you got to stick to one.
Shit, eh? Yeah. That's a hard one. I mean, I'm probably going to go because it's the movie that I've rewatched the most, and it, like, completely made me shit my pants because it was an extra year of hype because of COVID. The Batman.
Really?
I'm gonna give it to the Batman. Yeah.
Okay.
A buddy of mine is in town. He hadn't seen it yet. I was rewatching it again with him, and like even 20 minutes in, I'm like, yeah, this is one of my favorite movies.
It's
right
so fucking good.
It's so good. And again, I think it's because it needed to be. Like, it really did.
There was a lot of weight on that movie.
It was a big risk, too, because, like, you know, Matt Reeves, other than Planet of the Apes, it's not Nolan. Like, Nolan was, he had a big name already going into the bat, right? Like, also Pattinson was a very, I think anytime I'm learning that Batman is so iconic that no matter who gets cast, it's always going to cause a rift with certain people. But this was one where I was actually like, oh, no.
Anecdote alert. Pattinson filming Tenet with Nolan.
Yeah.
Pattinson gets phone call to go.
That's right. And
Nolan didn't tell Nolan.
Yeah.
Nolan calls him out when he sees him again.
Yeah.
He says, you auditioned for Batman.
Yeah.
Didn't you? And he's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
How did you know?
Yeah.
I know everything.
I
know
yeah.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. No, and he auditioned in the Val Kilmer suit, which is pretty cool. I thought that was funny. That was the suit he first screen tested in. And he talked about it. It was the only one that fit him from the lot. Yeah. It was the only one that was like, oh, we don't have to like get like, I don't
was
know,
like
a wardrobe in. Yeah, I was wondering. Yeah, no doubt, eh? The nipples actually are CGI'd on, so
oh,
his nips are just
oh,
out.
Oh, these are hard.
Ooh,
these feel good.
No, but I think also, too, what I love, too, is, like, my dad, like, my dad had no idea. I showed him the whole scene with Penguin, and then my dad's like, but where's Colin Farrell? And I was like, yes. My buddy did the same thing. We had to pause halfway through. Like, I treated it like intermission, and then we'll finish it the next day. And he was like, man, Colin Farrell hasn't even showed up yet. And I was like, yeah, I did.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. I loved it.
Oswald Cobblepot.
What I loved is that they finally took, they did, and they showed that Batman can be that. It can be something that you don't need an origin story for every single thing.
You don't. You take the best chunks.
Right. And like, just get a great story. And again, this movie is very much the way I told everybody, it's Seven, just the detective's Batman. But like, think of it like that.
Yeah.
It's a murder mystery.
We have
it's
a Brad
very
Pitt,
dark.
We have a Morgan Freeman.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We have an Alfred. They didn't have an Alfred.
Also, the idea of like, even just like, it's early, like this is actual early day of Batman. Like the fact that cops don't like him. They are not cool with him going into their crime scenes. They're fucking not okay with it. They're like questioning Gordon now because Gordon's teaming up with him, right? Like he's very much an asshole. Like Bruce is a dick. He's like rude to Alfred and everything. So
Rabbit's foot.
Yeah. Like it's, I don't know. I like the music. Like it was the best soundtrack. I've literally been listening to that soundtrack whenever I can.
It's three songs and they're all fucking epic.
It's so good. Yeah. Like I was really, it was the, you know what it was? It felt like it was taking, yes, a superhero, obviously a huge character, a big fan base, but it was giving it like Oscar treatment in terms of good writing, good cinematography,
good lighting,
composer,
good
everything.
Editing. Yeah,
it was brilliant.
They threw the like, money truck at it.
Even if you're not a huge fan of it, you have to admit it's a beautifully filmed movie. It's very well put together. It's very well edited. Like it's got this gothic feel, and it's at this point, if we're going to see another version of Batman, it has to be something new. And they did that. They gave us something different.
Yeah, go 5 years forward from this.
Right. And that's why I hope, I know it's a fucking mess over there right now. I really hope, I understand if Pattinson's this like vision doesn't fit in their extended universe, then just let it exist in its own timeline. Because to not continue what Reeves and Pattinson have done is like, I think that's ridiculous.
Well, they're doing a TV show, right? That's coming out. That's going to be pretty good, hopefully.
I think so. Like, I don't know. Everything seems to be on pause right now because we also didn't expect the Cavill, like, again, like, it really seems like things are, because James Gunn said, like,
I have to pause you. That's too big of a rabbit hole.
Yeah, sorry. But, like, anyways, I hope they continue it. I absolutely love my honorable mentions. I have to say everywhere, everything.
Everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah. And the hype is real. It's an incredible film. And Prey. Prey was a movie that absolutely blew me away. Not even as like I am a Predator fan, but I was very nervous because the last few years have not been great for the franchise. But wow, Prey was like, that is your new formula for Predator. Take a time era, make us focus on a good story, and then just fucking drop a Predator in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it works great. I love it. And I love the idea that it's just, again, like, it's not a story about where did these things come from? Why? Like, no, fuck that.
It just is.
Just give us a story. Like, give us good. Yeah. No, Prey blew me away. And for horror, it was Smile. Barbarian was incredible. But Smile, I don't know if you guys have seen that. It was the first movie in a long time that I was like, so do we sleep with the lights on or what do I do tonight? Like, it actually got under my skin. It creeped the
living. Yeah, you talked about it for like a week.
It creeped the living fuck out of me, man. It was really creepy.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There's three solid picks, but the Batman. Yeah, if you haven't seen
Batman is
make
my,
that your,
yeah.
Make that your top choice. I'll go next. I am making a promise to myself that I only watch, if I watch a movie, I only watch new ones. I do not touch anything I've ever seen more than once in 2023. That's my
goal. Okay.
So if we're going to watch a movie, if we're going to go to, like, the theater's easy, right?
Yeah.
But at home. Even when I'm editing, I'm going to avoid putting on a movie in the background that I've already seen.
Right.
I'm going to resort to TV shows for that.
So you're going to tackle your list.
I'm going to tackle my list.
Instead of building it.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
But the reason I'm doing this is because Bones and All is my favorite film of 2022 because it's an original story. It is not superhero. It is not tentpole. It is not even genre. It is what it is because it is. It's two cannibals in a timeline who meet each other because being a cannibal gives you a heightened sense of smell. So you can smell another cannibal kilometers away. And It's this story between Chalamet and I can't remember her name, but she played such a fucking awesome role. Whatever. It's a love story about cannibalism and how being a cannibal is so problematic and so hard to deal with that it makes you question your own existence, your life, if you'll be happy. Like, you are an outsider to the human species. There's no exception for you.
And you're also a threat.
You are, right?
Yeah.
And the film is so good at just being like, here's your world, take it and go.
Yeah.
Me and Ian were like constantly like, what the fuck is that? Like, I was the first time you see a human eating another human is such a natural, normal scenario. It's not like she had to stalk her.
Yeah.
And hide her. It's, and there's these little things that start with the film opens with a dad taking care of his daughter, and they live in a really, you know, they live in poverty. And what ends up happening is that you see these little things over a 24-hour period where, like, when she goes to bed, he locks the door from the outside, and you're like, what the hell?
Oh.
And then she's, like, been invited to an overnight slumber party, but she's not allowed to go, and you don't know why. So then you find out that she doesn't care anymore. She's going to sneak out, goes to the slumber party. She's lying under a glass table with a girl, and the shot is filmed through the glass table.
Oh.
Right? It's like that shot of Jack in The Shining where it's from the doorknob up.
Yeah.
Except it's down. And the two of them are being like any girls. I think it actually takes place in the 80s, to tell you the truth.
Okay.
And they're being like two normal girls, giggling about boys, doing each other's nails. And this one girl paints her nails, and she's like, take a look. And she brings them right across her mouth.
Oh, no. So she's just like.
And she's looking, and then all of a sudden she just puts it in her mouth.
What, chops?
And bites down
and
pulls the skin and meat off like a chicken wing. And that is your introduction to cannibalism. That is how it happens.
Oh, man.
So it's just it's an addiction. It's a need.
Whoa.
It's not based in vampirism. It's not based
in like cultism or whatever.
It's not based in if I eat you, I absorb your power. It's just
it's looking at it like an addiction.
I need to eat. I'm an addict.
Wow.
And then
that's fucked up.
That starts the story. And
the cool
part is you find out who she fuck, what the fuck? Can you Google it
Blood and Bone, right?
Bones and All.
Bones and All.
Which Bones and All is the term in the film where you have your first full meal, bones and all. That's why it's called that, right? Where if you just eat a person.
Her name is Taylor Russell.
Taylor Russell.
Yeah.
Amazing. So at that point when she bites the finger off, that's where the story kicks in. And what ends up happening is her dad has left her. He can't deal with it anymore, but he left a series of tapes. And every time she puts a tape on, you hear her story from birth and how she got to be a cannibal.
Wow.
That's a neat part of it. Watch that fucking movie.
Wild.
Timothée Chalamet is awesome.
Kids on fire, eh?
Yeah. Like he's like a bum cannibal who just eats the worst people of society. And like the question of who to eat, when to eat, why to eat is answered in it. Watch it.
Wow.
Yeah. Taylor Russell, Timothée Chalamet, killer.
Wow.
Same guy who did Call Me By Your Name. Same director.
That it is, eh? Okay. Director. Okay.
Martin, what about you? Runners Up were Prey and Barbarian.
Nice.
Same reasons you love Prey.
Yeah,
Barbarian was just, I love Justin Long getting fucked up.
Yeah.
Watch it if you haven't seen it. Martin, go.
It's going to be a very smooth transition from eating people to Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
The sequel I didn't know I wanted.
Right? You know? Right?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be bad, but it was actually really good. I was like, what the fuck?
Dude, I got teary-eyed in it, man. Like, it actually got me emotionally. It was amazing.
When they're all in the briefing room and they're like, Maverick's gone. He can't teach this team anymore.
Yeah.
And then he hops in the plane and does the run.
Yeah.
I got fucking teary-eyed. I was like, you go, Maverick.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Go on, Martin.
Just so fun. They give us a lot of shout outs to the original.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Seeing Val.
Jennifer Connelly
just
still got it.
Yeah.
Dogfight football.
Seeing Val Kilmer on the screen was nice. A little heartbreaking, but seeing him on the screen was nice.
It was. That embrace the two of them have, it was just like, I'm telling you, I got teary eyed there because I was just like, oh, man, I love you, Val.
Yeah.
Even though you can't say it back, I love you,
yeah,
brother.
Like, I love you. I love you, Iceman.
A.K.A. Tom Kazanski.
Yeah.
That's Iceman. Right. I'd be your wingman any day.
Because he gets him the job, right? That's the whole thing. Is
he's
Iceman
watching
vouches.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's the one that he's texting throughout the whole movie the whole time.
Which is
right.
Such a beautiful way. Like, how do we talk to Iceman? We text.
Yeah.
It's in the written form.
Yeah.
You can decide what he means.
Totally.
So beautiful. Go on, Martin.
No, good movie. I like how they kind of play on the next generation, Goose's kid, Miles Teller. They had everything I wanted. They had a
Rooster.
Good soundtrack. They had that beach scene when they're all hanging out.
Yeah.
dogfight football. What you, what's dogfight football? Offense and defense at the same time.
That was great.
And then the jet sequences were amazing in this. Like the action sequences were crazy. And those are real G's that they were flying in the movie. So.
Yeah. Like it is like that's a movie that I'm like, see that in theaters. Yes. Like I'm so happy I saw it.
But
in
it
theaters.
Had a story.
Oh, it was amazing. And you know what I did not expect? I didn't even expect the twist where they're behind enemy lines and it keeps going.
Right?
I was like, holy shit.
And then they bring back the old F-14 Tomcat. You're like,
I was like, holy fuck, this is a whole other movie. I love it.
He has to fly out on the old plane that he used to run on.
It was awesome. It was awesome. It was great.
Nostalgia bomb. Nostalgia atomic bomb.
Yeah. Also, having John Hamm play a dick was pretty good. Like, I like when he does the flyby and it's John Hamm is like, damn it, Maverick.
you got to buzz the tower.
Yeah. Always that was great.
Buzz the tower.
No, it was, I think it's the director that did Oblivion with Tom Cruise.
It's McQuarrie, isn't it?
I don't think it's Mission Impossible. I think it's
he did a better job at this than Oblivion, so.
Yeah, but like, I agree. But I think it's someone that's worked with Cruise before. But
you're right about that.
The fact that they went for it, like they actually, like you said, Martin, like they actually filmed the real G's and they put the actual cameras in the cockpits of these things. Like, well, it's true. Like, you feel like you're actually there and you feel the stress they do.
Joseph Kaczynski.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the guy that did Oblivion.
So he did Oblivion and Tron.
And Tron.
It's okay, I like Tron.
And
Tron
only, only the Brave was good.
Oblivion was filmed well. It just sucked. Like, the story sucked.
The story wasn't great.
But it was. He's a good film. Like, he knows how to film, clearly. Because, Tron is really cool. Like, he did a great job with
that.
But yeah.
It was fun to watch.
But yeah, no. And again, like you said, Martin, the sequel I did not expect. And I kind of hope they keep it going, like with Miles Teller, and they could bring Tom back if they really want to.
There was a conversation about it. And because I think
they should just call the next one Goose.
Duck.
Like,
Duck.
He should not be Goose anymore. Just call him Goose.
Yeah.
He should just be Goose.
Yeah. He gets to evolve and he takes his dad's.
Call sign.
Yeah.
There may have been a topic, and I think he's just too busy. Because after he's done Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, there's another film that he's lined up for.
Well, he's going to space,
Dead
right?
Reckoning 2. It's part 2.
Yeah, and then he's going to space. He's going to film that stupid movie. He's film it in space or whatever. And then I think also it's in studio's best interest not to plan too far ahead because I'm pretty sure Tom's going to die doing a stunt one day. Which is the way he would want to.
Which Mark will be so happy when that happens.
See, I think they could pass the series on because look what they did with Creed.
Yeah.
Now it's just Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah,
no
I
more
agree.
Sylvester Stallone.
I agree.
Right? Yeah,
you've got Maverick's picture up on the wall.
And they
got
to
call it Goose. Call it Goose. Top Gun Goose.
They also got to be realistic. Like, Tom Cruise is, yes, a freak of nature, but I'm sure even he is one day going to be like, okay, I'm done. Right? Like,
you know,
I'm sure he'll be a producer still and whatnot.
But... Bye, Hollywood. Hello, Scientology. I am taking over.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah. There we go. We got our movies in. Oh, any runners up?
Honorable mention.
Sorry, yeah.
Honorable mention. Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Oh, yeah. I got to see that.
So do I.
So good.
Yeah. It looks good.
And I think the other one was definitely Glass Onion, Knives Out, too.
Yeah, that was great. That was a really great one.
It just, I want to see Batista bounce those pecs.
Oh, you'll see more than that.
You'll see a lot of Batista. He's Kylo Ren approves.
I want to see the T-stuff.
Let's just say that. Kylo Ren approves.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
All right,
dude, he's
so
tanned and shredded, my friend.
That's the way I like him. moving on. Number 3. Favorite overall series of the year. I will give this to Martin to go first because I think we're a tie, which is going to be nice.
I'm going to go with Andor.
Same, buddy. Oh.
Jesus Christ, it's so good. For Star Wars to be like my favorite TV series is insane. Like, there were a lot of good I think this year for me was more TV series than movies of favorites, and Andor is definitely up there as my favorite just because I love Star Wars, but they're doing something completely different with Star Wars with this, and I think it's going to revive the franchise in a way that is going to be good for future projects down the road.
There are very few aliens. There is no mythic story. There is no power. There is no dark. There is no light. It is a Empire.
Shout out to Andy Scaris.
Andy, fuck, so good. It is the story of an empire crushing a people. It is that, but it takes place in Star Wars, and it's like it really solidifies at the end why the rebellion is so angry. By the time we get to New Hope, they are doing such a good job of making you realize what was sacrificed,
right?
To like, And like Stellan Skarsgård's character, he's an antiquities dealer for listener if you haven't seen it, but he's doubling as an agent of the rebellion. And when he says
the mastermind, sort of.
Yeah, you're totally right, Martin. He even says lines like, we have to make life so unbearable so that people do rebel.
Yeah.
Like, he is one manipulative son of a bitch. And it's like, this is not, like, Obi-Wan wasn't manipulative. Han was maybe a little manipulative, right? Like, there's no adult theme in really any Star Wars. It's good versus evil, bad versus...
Well, it's the ends justify the means. That's the whole debate.
Oh, yes. I love it. Yeah. So you're getting into, like, money and power and real estate.
Which, again, is like, that's... And should we not be seeing that? If this is the empire that's so evil.
Torture. Yeah. Imprisonment.
I want to see that.
Right? Like, these are all the things...
Because, like you said, all the movies, it's been good versus evil, so it's word of mouth. We know they're the good guys... We know they're the bad guys, but now we're seeing why, though. Like, other than they have the blasters, they are all stormtroopers. What is it behind those things, though?
One thing I think it does is this is what I've wanted from day one when Disney took over, was they're building a darker Star Wars universe, and I think they can go darker with it. And that's why I'm excited for, like, The Acolyte coming up, which is just focused on the dark side.
Yeah,
so, man. I mean, it's Palpatine's rise, right? From Acolyte to Darth Lord or whatever, Dark Lord.
Yeah.
So, I mean... If you can go dark with this, go darker more with that. That's what I want to see, a more darker Star Wars universe.
And I think we're going to see, like you said, like we're going to see the beginning of the Inquisitor program. And when they started selecting people for Inquisitors, like that's part of the Acolyte. And like seeing, because some of those Inquisitors, again.
You're talking Boba Fett Inquisitors?
Well, yeah. Their perspective is that the Empire saved them because it's like the Thanos thing.
They were eventually going to be Jedis.
Right. And like the Thanos thing, they were orphaned, but then they're put in a position where they know the Force and they have that, right? So some of them are like actually willing to die for the Empire, but then you have like the Obi-Wan twist where some of them are actually like double agents, right? And some of them are conflicted and whatnot. So I think
I'm chasing you so I can kill him.
Right. And what we also don't realize is after the Emperor was killed at Return of the Jedi, there were still Inquisitors and Empire fighters that existed. Did they just be like, okay, we lost, I changed my ideology? Or are they like,
power vacuum, baby.
Yeah. Like, we keep this going.
They
right?
said, like, Luna said in an interview, he was like, this is like 1 year of 5 years before Rogue One.
Yeah.
Next year, they're going to compound 2 years into one season.
Yeah.
And then as they eventually get to the end of this.
I thought it was only going to be 24 episodes, Michael.
No, it's.
I thought they were ending it with 24.
It's three seasons.
Yeah. Is it three? Okay.
It's three seasons. That's good. They're going to compound 2 years into two more seasons.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
Yeah.
But as we get to the end of this, it will be literally. Like rolling into Rogue One, how Rogue One ended and rolled right into the beginning of New Hope.
Yeah, like the and I can tell, like, I'm not done Andor yet, but I already can tell, like, that's what they're doing. Is the idea is that you finish Andor, throw in Rogue One, it continues like a longer episode, and then you throw in A New Hope, and it's like, whoa.
That timeline is where everything should happen in Star Wars right now.
Yeah, it's probably, at least for what, other than the Old Republic, it's one of the most exciting, I say, like, time eras for that story.
5 years after Return and 5 to 10 years before New Hope, play in those two worlds.
I also really hope we get something Old Republic, like I think a TV show.
I think that's what they're talking about.
Yeah,
with next shows coming up too. So.
My runner up for favorite series were Severance.
Oh yeah, I gotta watch that.
Yep, that was really good.
For incredible things.
The Sandman for a miniseries.
Yeah,
it's actually getting a second season, so it'll be. The Sandman was just like a fucking trip. You're like, I'm going somewhere else where we're playing with dreams and reality.
Yeah,
it's such a great story.
It is.
Yeah. And it's very
the characters, and they pull from DC a lot, which is great. So
yeah. The fucking serial killer convention is just so smart.
Oh, that was the best.
with a C, so that it's not.
And they say serial convention too, right?
It's just a serial convention. And then another miniseries, Under the Banner of Heaven. With
is that Andrew Garfield?
That's Andrew Garfield,
the detective, right?
Yeah. Miniseries about LDS, FLDS, Latter-day Saints, and how there was a murder that took place, and the church tried to cover it up.
Shocker,
right?
Yeah, and then
it leads from LDS, which is like Latter-day Saints, which are already kind of weird.
Yeah,
sorry, Utah. I don't think we have them anymore, Martin. But then there's the FLDS, which believe in like plural marriage and underage wives and shit.
Great.
It was really good. Like, I've watched it three times already. Once watched it. Like, I just really love. I love that those stories of how that stuff gets stepped on.
He's also
it's fucking disgusting.
I imagine too, just knowing him, it's probably also a great performance. From
he
him,
is, like, because he's playing a cop who is also a devout.
That's what I heard.
LDS
right?
guy.
Right.
So
he's getting conflictions as he's investigating this. Obviously,
he's compromising the investigation at
right.
some points.
Oh,
and
yeah.
his cop buddy, who is in Yellowstone, and he's been in a couple other movies. I can't remember his name for the life of me. Unbelievable indigenous actor.
Yeah.
I want to talk to him. Fuck, what's his name? He's fighting Andrew Garfield to, yeah, can you search it for me?
Yeah.
Under the Banner of Heaven. But he's fighting to keep Garfield's character straight.
Oh, like be a cop.
Be a cop. Don't be a devout LDS guy, right? So, you see him over there?
Under the Banner. Oh, is it Sam Worthington?
No, not Sam Worthington.
Because I was like, damn.
Sam Worthington is in it.
Oh, because he just came up first, probably.
Yeah, Jake Sully. No.
What do you know what the character's name is?
It's his cop buddy. Let me see your phone.
This is taking way too long. That's why we need interns.
Oh, yeah. The interns are on holidays, I guess. Because I like Andrew Garfield.
Gil Birmingham.
It's
is he Canadian?
No, he's an American actor of Comanche ancestry. You've seen him in, there you go, Martin.
Oh, yeah. I know. I've seen him in stuff.
There you go. Anyway, so.
Yeah.
Under the Banner of
Heaven.
I think
he was in a season of Fargo.
Sure.
Like an episode or something, yeah.
He's just a fucking killer actor at everything he does. Under the Banner of Heaven, if you're into that kind of sort
Twilight.
Of
Twilight, he was in. That was a big thing for him. I think he plays
a Lycan.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I think he plays Jacob's father, or like one of the main
sure.
characters.
Okay,
like
I never said I Twilight. Know. No, never will.
I don't.
So that's my and Severance. If you like a fucking mind bending trip about what happens when you cut your brain off when you go to work. Directed by Ben Stiller, starring Adam Scott and
Ben Stiller directed the whole thing.
That's Ben Stiller's baby.
Oh shit, eh?
Yeah.
The cast is phenomenal.
It is. What's Her Face 2 is in it?
Helen and Highwater. He was in that too.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was.
So, yeah. Anyways, Martin, you got any runner up before we throw it to Charles and move on?
I got runner up, Peacemaker.
That show was incredible. Yeah. Incredible.
It was incredible. And I hope we get more of that because that's a really. I wasn't a big fan of John Cena until.
Yeah.
I really, until recently. Like, I guess it would be this year.
Me too. I always thought Cena was big hype. Like, I didn't really get it. And then I saw Peacemaker and I was like, all right, I like him.
He's great in it. And I love that. And also another shout out to that I just watched recently and blew my mind. The Bear.
Oh
yeah. I've heard really good.
That fucking show is great. I love cooking TV shows when that's in the background. Cause just watching the food that they make is amazing. And just, you get to see like Philly, it's Philly, right? I think it takes place in Philly,
Chicago, sure, Philadelphia, somewhere.
Chicago. And you get to see like the Chicago dialogue, the accents, and
it's a kid from Shameless, right?
Yeah.
And the guy who plays the cousin
is amazing,
great, and he's also in Andor, which
he
also has a really good role in Andor.
What the fuck is his name?
Wild.
Mark started watching The Bear, and then I watched it because he's like, you love food shows, and then you started talking about it, Martin, and I was like, we have a trifecta. But, like, it's straight up real restaurant life.
That's great.
Yeah. And we've been there. I've been there life.
We've all drank out of those containers and yelled at each other in the middle of a fucking shift. And shit goes, like, me and Martin have been in it together. We were in it for a while. Eben Moss Barak is the guy
he's
talking
about.
He plays the
cousin.
Cousin. And Jeremy Allen White is the shameless
guy.
Also, Ayo Edebiri.
Dude, Matty Matheson in The Bear is hilarious.
He is.
And he's an actual chef. Like, he's a great chef.
Oh, that's awesome.
But he plays the dishwasher.
He plays a mechanic, the fixer or whatever. He fixes all the broken
Like their handyman?
Equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, handyman. That's what it is.
Ayo Edebiri is the girl who plays the graduate.
She's great, too. She's all good. Like, the whole cast in the chemistry behind it.
I've heard amazing things about that show.
It's intense,
It's too. FX, right? It's on FX.
Yeah. And it's only half an hour episode, so it's not, too much of a commitment.
I'm pretty sure
it's
still on Disney+,
really easy to watch.
I will binge that shit.
I want to get your recommendation in, so we're going to bump a segment up from the end of the show to right now.
Oh.
so that we can talk about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, at the top of the show, you may have heard that Charles does the Nerdgasm, and we've talked about this many times on the show if this is the first time. The Nerdgasm is where you go to review all things nerd and geek. Video games, comic books, movies, TV shows, he does it all. But specifically, he really loves video games. He knows the most about video games, I think, out of all of us, because he plays them and records them and edits them.
I'd say, like, me and Martin's got...
Martin's got his... If Martin had a Twitch channel, he'd be, like, fucking neck and neck with you. That's get a Twitch channel,
It would cater to Japanese businessmen only, because he'd be playing in my underwear. A can of Campbell's soup.
Like, seriously,
not even heated,
like, both
just
of you
cold.
Should,
that's great.
You should both play the same game and do a channel together.
Yeah, that would be kind of fun.
Nobody does that.
Have insane commentary, because,
right?
I think it'd even be funny, too, if you to coach me to play Elden Ring. I'm so nervous to even
I want to do that. If you play and I can comment while you're playing and watch you play.
There's a market for this that you're not capitalizing on. Like, everybody plays to be awesome. You guys need to play to be idiots. Like, You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's why... Like, the thing that I always loved twitching when I did it was horror games, just because I feel like those are entertaining because I get scared very easily.
Dude, we will let's twitch up my headset.
Yeah.
And put a horror game on it.
Oh, I will die.
You got to play the alien game in the headset. I hear gives people heart attacks.
Get out of here. That game gave me a heart attack playing on my PS4.
Yeah, with the virtual reality, it's crazy.
All right, so speaking of fucking games, there was a lot of games that came out this year.
Yeah.
And we play, and like me and Jimmy
Hello, would you like to play a game?
Me and Jimmy play Call of Duty. You guys, like, I forgot to order Borderlands 3, which is why I haven't jumped in on that
show. So funny.
But we play a lot of games together. We never really talk about them, but game of the year. There's been too much shit that came out. So,
oh, man, yeah.
What, in your words, is it? And then we'll find out if Martin
suit. It was an interesting year for games because, like, it started off hot, and then it's kind of like how it's been since COVID. You get some good heavy hitters at the beginning of the year.
Cyberpunk, right?
Yeah, quiet, and then they end the year off with some fucking hardcore heavy hitters. So,
God of War.
Yeah, the year really actually
Horizon.
West. Yeah, Horizon Forbidden West. That was on my list. God of War, absolutely. Cyberpunk. Because I waited until it released on the PS5. I didn't play it before that. So I knew it was a mess. I just didn't know anything about the story or anything. So I treat it as, like, that game came out for me this year. And then a game called Trek to Yomi. It's an indie game. It's a samurai game.
Do you know what studio makes it so you can give them a shout out?
Oh, man. I did. I just
I'll find it. I'll be intern.
I haven't played it since June. But it's great. It's if you're
what's
a fan,
it called again?
Trek to Yomi. So Yomi is Y-O-M-I. Fucking wicked game. It was great. Again, it's not like it's not like a 30-hour game. It is an indie game. But
what is it? Trek T-R-E-K.
T-R-E-K to Yomi, and Yomi should be Y-O-M-I.
Got it. Trek to Yomi platforms, developers Flying Wild Hog.
Yeah.
Leonard Menchiari, TFL Studios LLC, built on Unreal Engine 4.
Yeah. Great. It was awesome.
It's black and white.
Yeah. So the whole thing is an Akira Kurosawa, like, movie, essentially.
Like Seven Samurai kind of shit?
Yeah. And it's fixed shots. So when you go into an area, it'll be a fixed camera and it'll be like this and you're walking towards. And then if enemies come, you have to, like, fight them like that. And then when you go into new area does that, so it's very, like, it's stunning. It's a beautiful game. The whole thing is in black and white.
Dude, this doesn't look like a
game. It's beautiful. It's a complete homage to, like, Akira Kurosawa, like, movies. Like, it's so, the soundtrack's amazing. Yeah, that game blew me away. Amazing
sure,
game.
Sure, dude. It got 7 out of 10 on Steam, 7 out of 10 on IGN, 4 to 5 out of PC Mag.
I thought it was great.
Like this game.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's great. It's great.
Okay.
Another game, I know Martin loved this one, Sifu.
Sifu?
Amazing. Great game.
What is that?
Amazing. Kung Fu. Complete Kung Fu game. But what's neat about it is your character, if you die, like, when you come back, it actually ages you. So, like, you could look like the Grand Master that had, like, the Kill Bill. Eventually, yeah. And he does that. Like, eventually it gets to that point.
Sign me the fuck up.
It's wicked, though, man. Like, it's very
simple, but so satisfying.
Yeah, and it's addictive. Like, Martin, I think we discussed this. Like, we easily got addicted to the game where you can't put it down. because like you get to a point where you're like, I want to fuck up everybody in this nightclub, and you can. It's like a movie. Like there'll be a huge like think Kill Bill, the Crazy 88. They're just circling you in one. Like you're just going, and it's so cool. Like they, it's all the kung fu sound effects. It's all the music, everything, and like there's some stylistic shots like right out of Bruce Lee, like famous, you know, like kicks, famous shots where they'll freeze frame it a bit and they'll like really show it off. It's very cool.
Ip Man-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Thank you.
Totally.
I always thought it was IP Man.
Ip Man.
Ip Man.
You want to know how long I've been saying IP Man? How many IP Mans are there?
As long as you've been saying IP freely?
Yeah, pretty much.
From IP. A programmer, they're like, there is no IP. It's a movie.
What's
you think it was intellectual property, man? Is that what he thought?
Oh, my God. That's great. Yeah. Everyone's stealing his property. He's just beating the shit out of them one by
he's
one.
He's angry. He's being ripped off. Doesn't even get 10%.
The game I did not play, and I totally understand why it is winning Game of the Year. Like, I've seen tons of gameplay. I appreciate the hell out of it. It just scares the living shit out of me in terms of gameplay.
Resident Evil?
It's Elden Ring.
Okay.
Oh my God! I'm telling you, Charles, we should do a segment on your podcast where you play it, and I can watch you and comment.
I think we can just talk about it. I totally would be willing to do that.
And I'll say this: at first, I didn't understand, but now I do. I think God of War wins more awards on like other on the technical aspects of like other things about a video, like music, sound, voice,
right.
whatever.
Right.
But Elden Ring wins on gameplay alone because I've made like three characters, four characters.
Yeah.
And I'm still playing the game over and over again. It's amazing.
That's what a buddy of mine has said. And he's like, one of the characters, like I go fully like I'm exploring everything. The other one, he's like, I'm just like just going like right to certain bot. Like it's so cool and it sounds fascinating. But the gameplay, it's like it's a very and it's meant for people that really do love a challenge. But it's like
it's very hard.
Yeah, and like I have rage issues, and I'm worried that it'll make me hate video games.
Leroy Jenkins,
But yeah, like, and then for me, my pick. I think I have to say, like, if I have to pick one, I'm going God of War.
You are. Yeah, both of you, I think, are. Yeah,
God of War was incredible.
I'm going to Elden Ring.
Oh yeah, game and of I the totally year? Get that. Oh yeah,
Elden Ring.
Yeah,
I love God of War. I think it's a great game.
Yeah.
But in terms of replayability,
yeah.
I don't play it more than once. Elden Ring, I can go back to it. I am going back to multiple times.
For sure. And for $100, that means something, right?
Well, and I mean, like, and yeah, it's just, like, God of War was one of those things where there was a lot building on the sequel. And for me, and I'm sure, Martin, you feel the same way, I feel like it destroyed my expectations. Like, right within the first half an hour, I was like, this is really good. Like just the way that they aesthetically like it is evolved in every way, and then literally they let you have an encounter with Thor right in the beginning of the game, and after that battle I was like, this is the best game ever made. That like this is insane.
It was a perfect sequel.
Yeah,
for sure.
It was incredible, and it ended where I did not expect the ending. Like it actually I'm happy with it. And if they never do another game again, great, but they could revisit and I think it would be really cool. Like, there is potential there, but I also respect if they're like, no, it's concluded, like, we're done, I would totally be okay with that. But if they're like, no, we're going to go back, but we're going to do 30 years after that one ended or something like that, I'd be like, oh, my God, please do that.
Sure, yeah.
Please do that.
Well, that's like, the thing. Video games, there's a lot more leniency for script work, right? It's like comic books. You can do so many things.
Yeah.
Where film is concerned, it's like, well, we need a broad audience to make money. And we need the comic book audience just to read these books and we'll be fine.
Right.
We're not expecting John Q. Public to be...
Yeah, and I have to say it does seem like video games from a storytelling mindset, they're never limiting themselves. Like, there's no scale too big. It's more just like, oh, we might need more time because we want to do that. But there's never going to be like... you know, a stereotypical studio head like Hollywood where they're like, but are people really going to be able to follow a robot the whole time? Like, do you know, there's none of that. It's like,
they don't think like that.
Not at all. It's completely like, no, our robot is our main character. How do we make the gameplay work? And then they do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
once you're cemented in your characters that you've written, you have so much availability to make it like it because it is right where
totally.
Film people will be like 10 minutes they're just like fuck this shit.
That's why like even Avatar, like sitting there and having to watch it, but if you gave me a controller and I could explore that world and like Sully. Do missions and stuff, I think I would be like, this is an amazing game.
Jake Sully.
Right? But like, yeah. Like, yeah. That. But like that's what, and I think that's the thing is like, maybe Avatar would work better now as like more, or even if it was more like a theme park experience. I agree with that. I think that would be really cool.
It is in Disney
World. And it probably is, right?
It's in Busch Gardens.
That one's probably fucking awesome.
The Avatar experience.
But being told, hey, you got to sit there and watch this for like, you know, then I might be like, oh, I don't know if I can. Yeah. But anyways, yeah, like.
It's like no fucking Terminator. I'm going.
Yeah, God of War, it absolutely blew me away. And it was just a cool way. It was like the last big, massive launch of the year, I would say, at least for PlayStation. So it was nice to end the year on that note and really like. There was nothing else coming out at that time, at least for me. So it was nice to be able to just
question Charles.
Nuts with it. Yeah, man.
Early 2023. Are we going to Hogwarts it up or what?
Hell yeah, man.
I'll buy that game.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'll buy that fucking game in a minute.
I think I'm even going
to. Is that crossplay? Because I won't buy that game.
So I don't know if they have an online portion of it.
Oh.
I'm waiting to find. Like,
I'll buy it and we'll all play it together. And just...
But no, but it seems like it's going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
And like, they've been really hush-hush about the storyline. But what they did say, and I think it's really cool, is you can be a good wizard or slash witch or bad. Like, you can go down the route of becoming a Death Eater and learning, like, all the Cretaceous curses and
Hufflepuff all the way, baby.
Yeah, and, like, I love that. Hufflepuff. I love that they're letting you pick, you create your character and you get sorted. I love that they're giving you the full experience. And what's neat.
That's like an NHL Dynasty game
is
series.
You're going to get to explore Hogwarts that, like, the book hasn't even shown us. The movies haven't shown us. Because the developer said that was a big part, was sitting together with, like, the writing teams and everything and really being like, hey, what exactly have they showed us in the movies? Because when we show those rooms, we have to make sure they look like the movies.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's parts of the castle we never saw at all, and the books don't even describe it. So they were like, that was a lot of fun because we're like, that's the first time you're going to see these rooms, kind of thing like that. So,
I dig it.
Yeah, it's really, and it looks great. Unreal Engine 5 is gorgeous. Anything being developed on that, you're already at a huge advantage because it's going to look great. The big rumor, like Spider-Man 2, supposed to be coming out next year.
Dude, I gotta cut you off. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Sorry. Video games could go forever. Yeah.
We'll do a show.
God of War.
We'll do a
God
show
War is my
where
pick.
We got the time.
God of War is my pick. That is my pick.
Ladies and gentlemen, tune into special features in the new year. I think Charles has to park a lot of the video game chatter somewhere. All right. So we got 10, 15 minutes left before we lose Charles. So segments that we have to touch on. We've got best performance. We're going to remove best film by genre because we've already covered like the majority of those films, actually, I think. So we'll fuck that for now. But do we want to do best performance or what we're looking forward to in 2023?
I'll go quick with my best. It's just the first one that stood to mind. I'll just say Colin Farrell, Penguin.
Okay.
Loved it. Ooh. I loved it. It was very, you know, over the top, but I think it was the first time we got to, like, it was what Colin Farrell said. He was like, I never got to do Goodfellas. That was my time to do it. I think he did an awesome job.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait to see his show.
They're
continuing his storyline. I can't wait.
To go from a guy who does, like, Japanese artistic film last year, or Chinese.
Yeah, a couple of years ago. Yeah.
To being the Penguin, from being the guy in, like, Tiger something, like his first war movie.
Oh, yeah.
Where he was like the guy who was getting people out of Vietnam. Tigerland.
Tigerland.
Right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's got, yeah. No, him playing the Penguin is like, okay, I don't see that, but when I see it now, I want more of it, right? Like, you just.
Yeah, and I think what was cool about it is everyone makes a big deal if Gary Oldman goes in a fat suit and he gets an Oscar and everyone's like blown away.
Yeah.
But then Colin Farrell did it, and no offense to Winston Churchill, in a much, I think, creative experience because he got to create a character.
Exactly.
Instead of just having to look at how many fucking video footage and listen.
How
right?
much scotch and cigars
yeah,
do
and
I
like,
need to drink to get this
and
character right?
You can see on, like, I think it's on Warner Brothers' YouTube channel, his first costume test where they put on the face. And right away, just seeing him create the character, he's going full wise guy, mafioso,
hey,
and it's great.
Bats, what's going on?
Yeah, take it easy, sweetheart. Whoa. I love it. And you would never expect it from him. That's what I'm like. Yeah. That to me, I'm like, yeah, like, yeah, that's the first one.
Because he's handsome. That's why.
He's actually very good looking.
Yeah.
And well, I told you, like, my buddy didn't even realize that was Colin Farrell. Like, when Penguin showed up and we paused the movie,
oh, yeah,
I was like, man,
everyone saw that.
I can't believe Colin Farrell hasn't showed up yet. I'm like, no, that's
what's
him.
Up, toots?
And it's like, whoa. Yeah. And he's also a piece of shit in it. Remember, like, when he's asking him who the dead prostitute is, he's like, oh, she's a hot piece of ass, though, hey? Yeah. And right? Batman's like, ah! Right, yeah.
All right, so yeah, best performance. Martin, best performance?
I'm not going to go with best performance. I'm going to go with what I'm looking forward to in 2023.
Okay, all right.
I want more Mandalorian.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah,
give me more.
Everyone wants more Grogu. That's for
and
sure.
That's what's coming out in 2023. So yeah. I want to see what happens to the child.
Will
Does
Luke
wear
be
his
in
armor?
It?
What's going to happen?
Yeah,
and what Luke do we get? Do we get Mark or do we get Sebastian? Does yeah. the fan campaign
wow.
ask for Sebastian Stan to be the new? Because he looks.
Oh, I think, and he's a good actor.
Yeah.
So we know he would do great.
I'm fine with that. I'll give you my best performance and what I'm looking forward to. I've got Mia Goth from Pearl.
Oh yeah, she's,
which you're watching tonight? Did you say?
Yeah, we're gonna watch it tomorrow actually. Because
there's a nine.
We wanted to finish White Lotus first, and then
there is a 9-minute monologue
from
in
her
that movie from her.
Wow.
That
she came out of nowhere. Where did this woman come from? She's
right?
amazing.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
That 9 minutes and the end. There is a scene where she acts in the end and doesn't say a thing, and you will be just
cool.
Yeah, like in it's
well,
about,
X blew me away, man. I thought it was a phenomenal. I thought
this
it was
this is the character
well.
Study of Crazy Lady
right.
X. Right,
we're seeing why she was so absolutely bonkers by X okay.
in the lens of Wizard of Oz. It's very Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, because I saw the opening credits and I was like, oh, it's very
it's
like
a farm,
black and
it's
white.
Trying
like...
to get away from a family.
Yeah.
It's turning into a different. It's all very Judy Garland. And then what I'm looking forward to, like want to sit down and what I fucking love is Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm looking way more forward to Oppenheimer and John Wick than I am to a Marvel movie. Like Ant-Man Quantumania. I want our love to be rebooted for where the timeline is going.
Yeah.
And we've seen enough Marvel to fill to fill that timeline, but answer no questions. So when we get to Ant-Man Quantumania, we're going to have some answers. We're going to have Jonathan Majors.
Yes.
We're going to see all the funny bits.
I think we'll have more announcements when that movie comes out, too, because obviously it's going to set the course for things.
Bill fucking Murray.
Right? That's right.
Going
to pull the plug out of the drain, and shit's going to start to come out of the Disney machine.
And we're going to see what the big game plan is. What are we building up to right now?
But film-wise, I'm very excited to see, because they would not have said it if it wasn't accurate, but I'm excited to see what in-camera atomic bomb work.
Yeah.
Like, how did
he actually blew it up. That's what they said, right? Like, it's real sequences of that.
So the...
That he recreated?
Well, this is what he does.
Yeah.
He did this in Interstellar, so he grew the field of corn, and then they drove through the field of corn for the stunt.
Yeah.
And the corn sold paid for the stunt scene.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Cheaper to blow up the 747 in Tenet than it was to do it in CGI, so he bought the plane.
And he bought that hangar and blew it up. Yeah.
How he's done this in camera to make an atomic blast not atomic. So you're making the thing that is only believable if it happens. Now it's fake.
I'm wondering if he's pulling the Kubrick and Lucas and he's going on a smaller scale. So it is going to be a real recreation of an atomic thing, but it's not going to be life-size scale.
Do you think that he went to the
Atomic
Energy Commission in America? Can I get some plutonium?
Because how the fuck else did he do this?
For my film.
Yeah, well, like, how the fuck else did he do this?
That's what we're going to find out.
Right? Like,
but to claim that 8 months before, because it's a June movie.
Yeah.
They're already talking about this right now. And the fucking, like, Robert Downey Jr. is in that.
Yeah, and he said Cillian Murphy's the best actor in the world.
Damon's in that.
Yeah.
Like,
Emily Blunt, I think.
Emily Blunt's in that.
Yeah.
It's, and I mean,
Nolan's at a point in his career where it's like Tarantino. You don't read a script. It's like, hey, Nolan wants you to play this in his movie.
Oh, he's
like,
first
okay.
look. Yeah, he's everybody's first look with him.
Yeah, totally. Like, Bowie, I don't think Bowie read the script for what's it called. They were like, do you want to play Tesla in Nolan's movie? He's like, yep.
Sure. I don't
like
care
for the
what's
prestige.
Behind me
like
or
I don't think
me.
He
yeah.
knew. He was just like, okay.
Doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the story of the Manhattan Project. Like it's insane to me that we live in 2022 and like nothing can be a secret. Everything gets leaked.
Yeah.
We're only 60 years past the Manhattan Project, and you're telling me that three parts of North America, Canada, Mexico, and the States all had secret labs building this weapon and nobody knew. So how do you keep that a secret?
And was this one was specifically dropped? Was this the Hiroshima bomb?
This was Fat Man and Little Boy. They were the first two.
Yeah.
And the story goes, they only had enough for Fat Man. Little Boy is a complete redesign.
Gotcha.
Using Implosion, where Fat Man is using the gun idea of, as it was about to drop, a charge would go off and launch the plutonium into each other.
Right.
They had enough to do that.
Right.
Then they had to get a different element to do Little Boy, and Little Boy is an implosion inward out. And they only had one shot at Fat Man. Watch Fat Man, Little Boy. John Cusack, Paul Newman.
Yeah.
All about the whole entire
what
project.
It is, right?
That'll prepare you for Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And the timeline? The timeline is making the bomb, dropping the bomb, results of dropping the bomb. It's three different eras of the Manhattan Project.
Right.
Being approached by Matt Damon to build it.
Yeah.
Dropping it and the results.
Yeah.
And the committee of why they were allowed to do what they were allowed to do. That's
And I mean, again, like, and also I love, after Batman, Nolan's projects have been very interesting, what he's like choosing to do, right?
Because
he does a movie, what, every 4 years, I'd say?
Which is fine.
Around there. Yeah.
Not 12, like Cameron, you fuckhead.
Well, I mean,
don't expect to be relevant 12 years after your film.
Again, that's my frustration with it, too. Is
the world
that
you live in has changed.
You waited 12 years and that's what we get as Avatar and water?
Yeah,
like, come on! No,
you
offense,
put Avatar in a glass of water, like you diluted Avatar.
Even Tarantino, however time passes between his movies, he's at least giving something different every time.
Yeah,
right.
Like, Kill Bill is not like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
No, not at all.
Inglourious Bastards is not like Pulp Fiction.
No.
Whatever.
Like, it's a signature style, which is what they do. But like, you can tell a Fincher movie. But they're all different from each other. Like, Gone Girl is nothing like Fight
Club. You can tell a Fincher movie because it shouldn't look this perfect. And we all know 1,000 takes were made of each scene.
And even when lights are on, you're like, are the lights on? It's just so damn dark in there.
Martin, Charles, anything before we go?
I'm excited for 2023 for gaming, obviously movies, TV.
Yeah.
I agree with you with Marvel. I was telling Claudia, I'm like, so far, the most impressive movies for me in this new phase have been Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
Thor.
Yep.
I really liked Thor.
I love
it. Was entertaining as hell. Yeah. Like, Wakanda, I'm sorry. It was disappointing. Like, I wasn't as engaged with it. So Marvel, I'm excited to see what they're going to pull because their movies have been lacking, but shows have been great. Video games, we got Harry Potter. We got the continuation of Jedi Fallen Order.
Yes, which I have to get back on the...
Spider-Man 2, which I really hope isn't delayed. But when they say fall 2023, I'm like, that's 2024. But I mean, like, next year should be huge. But yeah, there's a lot of exciting, a lot of good shit coming out for sure.
Martin, any last words? It's the last one of the year.
Quantum Mania. Looking forward to that. We're actually going to get the start of the Avengers, the next segment of the Avengers movies.
Yeah.
The actual.
Five, right?
Yeah. Well, and we know that there's an Avengers Secret Wars and an Avengers King something.
Yeah.
King Dynasty. Yeah. So
how about Secret Wars or Secret Invasion TV show?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's like, it's funny. Peacemaker kind of did it already, but I'm excited to see what Marvel does. Because remember, like, the whole last, like, four episodes of Peacemaker, I'm like, this is Secret Invasion, basically. This is great. It's really good.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. And I hear rumors that RDJ might be coming back in some shape for Secret Invasion. I think maybe, like, I don't understand how, but... I don't know. Maybe he's a new Jarvis. I think that could be kind of funny.
I made the call in Black Panther. I thought they were going to introduce him as the new Jarvis.
Yeah, I thought that would be hilarious.
For her suit.
Yeah, Ironheart. Yeah, but I thought that could be kind of neat.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the year. That's it. That's 2022.
A year of the real debaters already.
I'm so happy this is how we end the year and not some big... you know, booze filled fucking party night.
Like, yeah.
After this, I'm making duck. Want to know what we're having tonight?
Yes, please.
Duck breast.
Ooh.
Chicken legs. Not chicken legs. Crab legs.
Oh, but that's delicious.
Rack of lamb.
Oh my God.
Guacamole.
Holy shit.
Mussels in a white wine cream sauce.
Oh my
God. That is a lot of food.
And steak tartare.
So what was the theme? Like, go out like kings?
Yeah. Get gout.
Get gout. Oh, my God. That sounds delicious, my friend.
Yeah, and there's like 77 rings of cheddar kubasa in the freezer downstairs. I'll give you one before. I'd love to send you one, Martin, but it probably... Well, I think it would stay frozen by the time it got to you. Would you eat it?
Yeah, it's cold enough outside.
Would you eat?
Yeah, just put it in there.
Yeah, all right. Just put it in there.
I'll eat anything.
Send it with the pigeon.
Yeah. No, send a raven.
Yeah, that's right.
So, like I said, last episode, I'm not a big, I'm not a big New Year's guy. I don't like being all like, hurrah, hurrah, you know.
Oh, I did that in my 20s. Now I'm like, yeah, no, I'm okay.
So
I'm going to be asleep by 11:30.
Yeah. Oh, I'm pretty sure last year I went to bed before the countdown, and I woke up feeling like a new man. So
Benoit Blanc's going to send me off to sleep tonight.
Yeah, that's right.
How dare you go to sleep doing my movie?
I do declare.
So we'll end this year like we started this year. Just watch all the movies and TV shows and play all the video games, kids. And subscribe so we're there.
Yep.
First podcast of 2023.
That's right.
It'll be at the top of your list because we're going into it next weekend. We're going to start recording. I don't think there really is a.
Well, you got a lot of good things planned.
We do. We have all of January planned so far. And we'll have February planned by the middle of January.
More live shows are probably coming at you as we find out about.
I want to do a live show every 2 to 3 months.
Yeah. Totally.
You know? Yeah. And so that'll be happening as long as we Johnny's is alive and well.
Yeah.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, I have been Michael S. Petro. There you go, Mark. Said it twice for you.
I am Charles J. Fernandez.
And in Vancouver?
Martin A. Navarro.
That is right. What is your middle name, Martin?
Andre.
And yours, Charles?
I have technically two, but Jose Ribello.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you like the third of something?
I'm the first.
You're the first?
Yeah. But my brother's the second, and his
child is
the third.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like the House of Dragons over there. Yeah, the fucking Fernandez house.
We got them shirts that actually, for my Father's Day 2 years ago, we got a shirt that said Lionel the first for my dad, Lionel two for my brother, and then my nephew is Lionel three.
Well, that's just adorable.
So I know, yeah. And that's what and then we got a photo with me on the end, and I was just like, the Matthew McConaughey's son, like, what? Bastard kid on the end, and they were like,
Happy New Year from Michael Leonello II and Martin Andre Navarro in Vancouver, ladies and gentlemen. Watch all the movies, enjoy your plans, and say bye-bye. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies.